Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Joe Biden, they were literally Michael Jacksoning him. His decline was even worse than anybody imagined, except for us, because we all saw it happen with our own eyes and we watched it happen. And there we go. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today on Tariff Day. We spent a lot of time on that earlier in the show. You can always hit the Odyssey Rewind or podcast if you like. President making a big announcement today in the Rose Garden, and I imagine there's going to be lots and lots to discuss tomorrow as reactions pour in of this. But, you know, excerpts have emerged from a new book entitled Fight, Inside the Wildest Battle for the White House, by The Hill senior political correspondent Arnie Parnes and NBC News digital senior political analyst Jonathan Allen, and reveals Democrats and Biden insiders were all too painfully aware of what was going on. They all went along with the facade until it was no longer possible to hide it. They were literally Michael Jacksoning him while the media called people who said he didn't look right cheap fakes. That's what conservative commentator Stephen Miller put it. At the G7 summit in Italy, preceding the debate, Biden was tired when he arrived and in most of the sessions. To cover up the physical signs of Biden's aging, a makeup artist met with him in the morning when he traveled. The artist also covered up aging signs before Zoom calls with his aides. Biden consistently made these makeup appointments, but he sometimes canceled. Wow. Somebody said it's one small step away from whacking sunglasses on the weekend at Bernie's corpse. In some cases, Biden would get the makeup done and then cancel the briefings. Another incident saw Biden not recognizing or knowing who Representative Eric Swalwell was and having to be coached into remembering him. Swalwell had not been invited to the White House often, like most members of Congress. But when Biden and Swalwell came face to face, Biden didn't immediately recognize the congressman. Swalwell needed to know personal details to remind Biden of who he is. While they all remained quiet at the time, Miller notes that everyone is coming out of the woodwork now that book deals are being bandied about. And that's what it is. Now that there's money to be made in showing all this, Tony Saruga pointing out Democrats were ready for Biden to die. A new 2024 election book reveals that Democrats were prepared for Joe Biden to die in office as early as 2023. It claims they secretly had a death pool roster of judges who could have sworn Kamala Harris into the presidency. A freaking death pool. A death pool. A book also claims the party staged hush-hush talks to plan for the former president's withdrawal the year before it happened, while exposing new details of his shocking in-office mental decay. One passage explains how Biden reportedly needed to have fluorescent tape fixed to the carpet, colorful breadcrumbs that showed the leader of the free world where to walk. Recall that as that happened, Democrats and their media allies insisted that Biden was sharp as a tack. Sharp as a tack.
And I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation. And so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation.
The only question I'll have for the authors, and everybody should ask, is why didn't you do more to try to bring this to light then? I mean, it's great. You got a book deal. Like, awesome. Happy you got a book deal. But at the same time, wouldn't it be nice if you had shared this information with your own party at some point, because you could have swapped Joe Biden out and then you could have got another candidate in. But the real problem is, and you know this as well as I do, the real problem is they couldn't get rid of Kamala Harris. That's the real problem with the whole situation. They didn't know what to do with Kamala Harris. It was always the Kamala Harris problem. And if they could have found a way to swap Kamala Harris out of the race, then they would have done it. If they could have just gotten rid of her, they would have done it in a heartbeat. But, you know, this is the disinformation issue. And I'm going to get into more of that because I want to do a deeper dive on what Nita Jankowicz was saying yesterday. Amy Klobuchar got mega frustrated with Ted Cruz today. And she had a little back and forth about the judicial overreach by all of these partisan judicial hacks that we apparently can't seem to rein in this country. This exchange is amazing here in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Take a listen.
He'd be doing it in a legal way, not how he's doing it. And the only reason there's all these injunctions, Senator Cruz, is because he's violating the Constitution. Why would Trump-appointed judges...
Why don't you file them in red districts?
Senator Cruz.
Why? What did you just say?
Why don't you file them in red districts? Why are the Democrat Attorney General seeking out
Senator Cruz,
left-wing,
my esteemed colleague,
quite patient with Senator Cruz's activity in this building?
Senator Whitehouse.
He's entitled to...
I'm just going to ask for a point of order. Madam Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar.
Senator Moody, we have debates on this committee. They occur regularly.
Let's let her have her time, and then we'll get back to that. If you want to wait, we'll get back to Senator Cruz.
She's welcome
Senator
to answer
Klobuchar.
The question or
go
not.
Ahead.
It's her choice.
Go ahead.
I'm so
and I would
excited
encourage
to
you to answer.
Following Senator Cruz once again.
Excuse me?
But I will say
excuse
this.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you. What did you say?
It to be following him. He and I have a...
I was... permitting you your time to continue. Oh, what to be following him in order. Excuse me. Go ahead, Senator Klobuchar.
During hearing.
Go ahead, Senator
That's what
Klobuchar.
I'm referring to.
Go ahead.
And I will take more than my time, since he's taken more than his time to yell at me.
Go
so
ahead.
So what I will
Mark
say
is that...
Not yelling. I asked a question.
Senator Cruz, please. I'll give you time.
Aw, he yelled at. Aw. Somebody need a hug? Huh? Somebody need a hug? We'll give you a hug. Come here. Come on. Need a hug? We'll give you a hug.
I want to go a little bit past this, and then I'm gonna deal with some of the biological urgencies I'm feeling.
That's why it depends. Is your ally here? Just saying, you know, kind of gross. Anyway, I don't want to get it back in the tariff since it's been most of the show today. I just wanted to share this clip. Ontario's Premier Doug Ford willing to drop all of Canada's tariffs, take them off the table tomorrow. I this is what I hope happens here. I hope that this unleashes a new era of the United States not getting screwed by tariffs, because these companies will blink in this game of chicken. And then I hope that that is what benefits everybody here. So this clip, CNBC, take a listen.
Let's sit down and discuss this, because it's just going to hurt American jobs. I can't stress it enough. And, you know, again, he believes he's supporting Americans. He said he was going to create jobs, create wealth, reduce inflation. It's worked the total opposite. Inflation.
But do you think it's fair that you have tariffs on a whole number of products?
That's right. And we'd be willing to take those off tomorrow if he took all the tariffs off. We are not the problem, Andrew. Do you know the problem is? China's the problem. And he's taking a blind eye to China as they continue to build their critical mineral mass. We have all the critical minerals that our great neighbors need. We have the energy that our great neighbors need.
I just want to go back for a moment. If, in fact, you're prepared to take your tariffs off, why wouldn't you have that negotiation and that conversation now before any tariffs get put in place?
Well, we've had this conversation for over the last month. We don't want tariffs. We have another $65 billion worth of tariffs to launch today. That's the last thing we want to do, because it's just, again, it's going to hurt both countries. It's going to hurt American workers. That's the last thing I want.
No, Andrew meant take the other ones off, not the ones you're launching today.
You're saying you take all your tariffs off. I'm saying
we will take them off. That's right.
Why has all of that not already happened? And does President Trump know that you'd be prepared to do that?
He knows, and Secretary Lutnick knows that we're willing to take these tariffs off, like in the next minute, if he said he's taking their tariffs off. So let's look at the auto sector.
Well, then let's hope that that's the case. And, you know, and I think everybody would be very happy if that is, in fact, what occurs here as a result of all of this. Because, and I've told you before, you know, the only reassurance I can give you is that President Trump does not want to go down in history as anything other than an inspiring and successful president of the United States of America. That's it, period. By the way, if you're wondering, all of the issue of companies coming back to the United States of America and doing business here in America, I mean, it is happening. You know, American jobs are happening. Companies are reinvesting in the United States of America. And that's
want American jobs. We want to bring manufacturing here. Let's not forget about how much investment in the short period of time Donald Trump has been president that he has already got commitment to bringing back to the U.S. of A. And that is almost $5 trillion in investments. Look at Apple coming into my home state of Michigan. That's positive news that needs to be celebrated.
That was Representative Lisa McCain. Oh, and if you're wondering about, and obviously Val Kilmer passed away. We talked about that a lot earlier in the show today. And very, very sad news that Val Kilmer passed away. A great actor, gone way too soon. If you've not seen the documentary Val, I highly recommend it. It really goes through his whole life. It really is. It's something he did with his son. Very touching. Your allergies may absolutely act up in the course of watching it, no doubt about that. So, you know, just keep that in mind as you watch the show. But he was one of my favorite actors. One of the people that's not one of my favorite actors is Alec Baldwin. This friggin' lunatic. This guy's insane. He really is. And he's now declared the United States is in a pre-Civil War culture. Why anybody listens to this bozo, I have no idea, but especially after he showed what a beta he is with his wife. You know, when I'm talking, you're not talking, okay? Listen to this nutbag.
Something led my hand to pick up the remote and turn on my television.
What were you doing with your other hand?
And watch Ken Burns' famous miniseries. And boy, you can see now that
this guy goes and watches a like 28-hour miniseries to get away from his wife. I don't blame him. I really don't blame him after the way she dresses this guy down and emasculates him. But he's like, I'm gonna go watch a documentary, a 28-hour Ken Burns documentary about something.
Civil War culture now. They describe things back then politically. There are profound differences, of course, in terms of just history.
Really? Profound differences.
And age and, you know, what life was like back then and cotton and slavery and...
Oh, that. A minor detail.
Lincoln and...
Yeah.
Robert E. Lee and so forth. There's just so many...
There's a broken man.
This incredible story. Awful that this country had to go through that. Awful. But as a story, it's just overwhelmingly powerful and fascinating. But I look at the politics of it, of where people are in this country today.
He's like a...
In the division and...
It's like a bad Alec Baldwin impersonator at this point. He really is like a bad Alec Baldwin impersonator. Who's gotten our country to this place? Is it the right or the left? I mean, you know, today another lunatic shot a healthcare worker in the United States of America. Somebody working at Walgreens, a horrific murder inspired by this Luigi Mangione nutbag. I'm just saying. I mean, who's pushing people? Who's pushing people into this area? It is the left. It is the left that is encouraging this violence that we see. It is the left that is encouraging the violence against Tesla. It is the left that is encouraging the violence, firebombing Teslas. And I don't agree with this notion that both sides are to blame in this whole thing. I think that the left pushes violence. And that is what's unfortunately a very sad state of America right now. You can have heated political debates, and you should, but the left pushes this idea, and then when it happens, they don't condemn it. They celebrate it. They made Luigi Mangione have to be a folk hero. Bill Burr did. And then when Bill Burr was asked to condemn Tesla firebombings, he said he doesn't watch the news. So, all right. Disinformation. Nina Jankowicz. We got to get into that. What happened at the hearing yesterday? I need to do a deep dive on this for you. It's very important. More about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. So much more to come in our fourth and final hour on Tariff Day. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
In other news not related to tariffs, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nina Jankowicz, failed musical actress Nina Jankowicz. Her defense of government censors is based on misinformation. The quote that she said was, "Everything looks like a conspiracy when you don't know how anything works." Robbie Suave over at Reason.com had a great piece on this. And this was the, if you remember, the Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board, an entity that purported to advise the Biden administration on how to best counter online information, but was shuttered after drawing the ire of conservatives and libertarians. Like so many other purported disinfo experts, Nina Jankowicz's record of identifying actual lies is decidedly mixed. She had dutifully joined the intelligence community, and much of the mainstream media, for instance, is wrongly asserting that the New York Post Hunter Biden laptop story was disinformation peddled by Russia. She personally expressed a view that the straightforward explanation, Hunter Biden left his laptop at a repair shop, was a fairy tale. She got that one wrong. She had... got that one wrong. But like so many other former government intelligence officials who were fundamentally wrong about pivotal issues pertaining to their area of expertise, he writes, Jankowicz is fated to fail upward. She is now the president of the Sunlight Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting transparency, though the group does not disclose its sources of funding. How ironic is that? She doesn't disclose her sources of funding. Isn't that something? They asked her about this. Listen to this exchange here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to all assembled for this important hearing. You know, I think the core interest here is trust with the American people.
Right.
There are real issues with terrorists using propaganda and social media to spread their nefarious aims. But what we've seen happen in the last, particularly in the last 4 years, has very much eroded the trust of the American people with the use of big government to censor dissent and truth here in the United States. So to start, Ms. Jankowicz, your organization, the American Sunlight Project, claims to have a commitment to transparency and apparently does not extend to disclosing its donors. Has the American Sunlight Project received funding either directly or indirectly from the George Soros or his foundations, including the Open Society Foundation?
Thank you, Congressman. You know, I've received a lot of threats for speaking out, and so I've decided that we are going to abide by the rules that other 501c4s in our country abide by, and we are not required to disclose our donors, small or large, because I frankly don't want them to be threatened the way that I have been.
So sunlight for other people, but not for your donors.
Sunlight for me, but not for thee. And that's such a joke, isn't it? I mean, come on. Nina Jankowicz, failed musical actress, Nina Jankowicz. Now, I'm going to apologize in advance for this, but since I gave you a lot of Val Kilmer earlier in the show, I feel like it's only fair to remind you of this, of her singing Mary Poppins.
Is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie when Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine. Or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain. They're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh, information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress.
Imagine being married, her.
Information's origin seems likely less atrocious.
Oh, that woman was in charge of the government's disinformation board. That whack job right there. Yep, that's right. And she won't disclose her own donors. Interesting. A little bit of hypocrisy. The intriguing policy, some would say hypocrisy, was noted by Representative Michael Baumgartner, as the clip that I just played you right there. She compelled social media companies to censor contrarian speech, and that was a major driver of negative attention to projects like the Disinformation Governance Board. Matt Taibbi's Twitter files, as well as similar projects like Reason's Facebook files, demonstrated that aggressive moderation of dissident opinions online was not a choice freely made by social media companies. It was forced on them by government agents who were themselves misinformed about the facts. Although I take objection to what Robbie Suave writes there, I don't think they were misinformed about the fact. I think they didn't care what the facts were. They wanted their facts and only their facts to be on social media. And that's it. Their facts and only their facts on social media, period, end of story. That's it. Now, she says she's received bullying, and that's why she won't disclose her donors. Mr. Taibbi said when he was first searching through the so-called Twitter files, he didn't even know what he was looking at, said Jankowicz. Well, he still doesn't. Everything looks like a conspiracy when you don't know how anything works. That's a bold claim from someone who bought into a conspiracy theory about the Hunter Biden laptop story. Like, let's think about this now. You want to talk about being labeled a conspiracy theorist? Well, I know for a fact, we all do, that the FBI put a gag order on the Hunter Biden laptop story and they knew it was real. If there are people out there who fell for this crap about that it was Russian disinformation, then they are conspiracy theorists. They bought into what is one of the biggest conspiracy theories of all time, which is that Russia was behind the Hunter Biden laptop. Think about that. Think about that. You want to call a conspiracy, tinfoil conspiracy hat. It was people like that. Anybody who believed that and then went on to justify the censorship and everything else. Jankowicz proceeded to flatly assert that the State Department's Global Engagement Center, charged with countering foreign propaganda, was never engaged in anything approaching censorship. That claim is objectively false and collapses under scrutiny. At issue are two independent anti-disinfo organizations, NewsGuard and the Global Disinformation Index. Both have received funding from the State Department. In her testimony, Jankiewicz acknowledged that these organizations were federally funded, although she defended the grants as focused on combating Chinese government propaganda rather than encouraging censorship of American media entities. Let's get back to that in a second. Disinformation Nina Jankiewicz says that there was no censorship going on at the Global Engagement Center at the State Department, okay? That's what she said. That's what she said yesterday in Congress, okay? I want to play this little clip for you just to remind you about this.
Hearing is that states GEC first set up under the Trump administration and championed by then Senator Marco Rubio supported organizations that censored conservative speech and worked to discredit conservative outlets. Ms. Jankiewicz, to your knowledge, has State Department funding ever gone towards suppressing domestic speech?
Thank you, Ranking Member. You know, Mr. Taibbi said when he was first searching through the so-called Twitter files, he didn't know what he was looking at. Well, he still doesn't. Everything looks like a conspiracy when you don't know how anything works. And let me tell you, there was no censorship going on at the Global Engagement Center or the State Department. You may have heard Mr. Weingarten kind of make the inference that all of these lists GDI and NewsGuard are making, you might have thought that they were funded by the State Department. They were not. Do you know what the State Department was funding for those two organizations? Something I think the Republicans on this committee would be very interested in, tracking and countering Chinese state propaganda targeting Americans. Now,
let's take a break from that for a second, okay? Because that's lie number one. She took issue with the idea that NewsGuard was biased against right-leaning news sources, noting that several conservative organizations, including the Wall Street Journal, the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, and Reason, had received favorable evaluations. Okay? It is true in any case that NewsGuard favorably evaluated Reason.com, the libertarian site, but the Global Disinformation Index is another matter entirely. This organization, a British nonprofit backed by the United States Department of State, listed Reason.com as one of the 10 riskiest online news outlets and warned advertisers against appearing on the website. The GDI's stated rationale for this purported danger was inscrutable. The disinfo cops accused Reason of having unclear authorship policies, which is simply not true. The piece I'm referencing right now is written by Robbie Suave, who clearly is the author of this piece. But Reason was far from the only disfavored news source. The GDI targeted the New York Post, Real Clear Politics, The Daily Wire, Blaze Media, The American Conservative, and The Washington Examiner. In fact, the Washington Examiner subsequently took a closer look at the GDI's operations and determined that its missives to advertisers to avoid risky libertarian and conservative news sites were partly based on the idea that these outlets were promoting COVID-19 misinformation. Specifically, the GDI was shaming these websites for including commentary that COVID-19 may have come from a lab. The theory, labeled a coronavirus conspiracy by the GDI, is now judged, of course, by everybody with a rational freaking brain to be true. And it was not an undercooked bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. It was none of those things. It was from the lab. Oops again. But then she's defending the decision to fund these anti-disinfo organizations on the grounds that they were merely using taxpayer dollars to counter Chinese government propaganda. She's like, well, I think the Republicans on this committee will be very happy to know this is going against Chinese propaganda targeting American citizens. So let's dive into that for a moment, shall we? The GDI tried to suppress the idea that COVID-19 could have emerged from a Chinese lab under lax safety conditions. A disaster that was subsequently hidden by Chinese officials. Given that millions of people died all over the world as a result of the pandemic, any organizations running cover for the Chinese government on the topic are effectively complicit in the Chinese government's most essential propaganda campaign, well said Robbie Suave. So much for the State Department paying disinformation cops to counter foreign misinformation. When it came to COVID-19's origins, the GDI enforced the misinformation, and Nina Jankiewicz is still defending it and advocating for it. Let's continue with that clip.
to manage State Department grants early in my career, I know that that is a huge fiduciary responsibility. You have to account for every single penny that you're spending on travel, on staff time, on supplies, and you have to do it multiple times a year. So for folks to sit here and say that grants dedicated to countering CCP propaganda were somehow spent on conservative blacklists is just ridiculous. And
no, it's not. And you're not worried countering Chinese propaganda. You were pushing Chinese propaganda. That's the point. You were pushing Chinese propaganda, and this GDI, which is Global Engagement Center of the State Department, was absolutely blacklisting these conservative sites and libertarian sites. It was 100% it was. It's a lie. It is such a lie for her to engage in this. It really hurts my brain. It hurts my brain. We have had so many people who were blacklisted because of their opinions on COVID-19. Luckily, though, our side won, thank God, and now we can do things like welcome FDA Commissioner Marty Makary and Jay Bhattacharya to the FDA, which was a big deal yesterday.
Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm the Secretary of Health and Human Services. I'm here with two of the men that I most admire. Repeat after me, please. These are two of the greatest scientists in America, and they are going to transform this agency and bring back the revered place of NIH in our history. We're going to restore that.
Hi, Marty Makary.
And we're going to restore FDA to its initial mission.
Well, thank you, Mr. Secretary. Diseases and conditions that were rare two generations ago are now common and burdening children and the entire system. And no one has been talking about the root causes until now. So thank you for your leadership.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
We need to use the incredible ingenuity of American scientists all across the country and focus them on what really matters, which is to make people healthier so they can live the lives that they're supposed to live.
This is a generational opportunity to apply the scientific standard and process to address all of these problems. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Take your charge and do that.
So help me.
I think it's great.
Congratulations. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Marty. Welcome aboard. The revolution begins today.
Those two guys, Jay Bhattacharya and Marty Makary, during COVID, were blacklisted by social media, flagged as being nuts. Their Great Barrington Doctrine, which showed that COVID lockdowns killed and were absolutely ineffective at stopping the spread, all they did was contribute harm to society, blacklisted by social media. And Jay Bhattacharya, I mean, we've had Marty Makary on the show several times. In fact, he was one of the first trials of using streaming video on this radio show, which the first time was kind of a disaster. We've gotten better, but he quickly adapted. We picked up his phone and just went along with it while he was on video. It was pretty cool to watch if you haven't seen that video. Maybe we'll post a link to it again. But Jay Bhattacharya, he said, you know, we're going to prioritize gold standard science. It's what we have to do in this country. And I agree with him 100%.
Get America healthy again by focusing on foods, fast foods. What ingredients are in our kids' cereals?
I think for something like this, a problem scope, it has to be an all of the above approach. Certainly food, the drugs we take, the lifestyle we live, and much else that science hasn't really discovered yet. The way forward is to say what we know honestly, say what we don't know honestly, and give excellent advice based on gold standard science. And as the director of the NIH, that's exactly what I intend to focus the agency on, doing excellent science to improve the health of Americans.
There you go. Works for me. But these are guys blacklisted by the very, very government that they are now a part of. The government using people like Nina Jankowicz and the Disinformation Board to try to silence people like Marty Makary and Jay Bhattacharya. An absolutely disgrace. And of course, you know, the biggest thing that we know is the greatest disinformation that was ever put out there was that this was the best version of Joe Biden. You know, that Joe Biden was the best, and that Joe Biden was, well, that everything you saw out there, everything you saw in the TV was fake news. When he shook hands with the Invisible Man, when he walked off to go talk to dead presidents, when he hosted Harry Truman on the Truman balcony for tea, all those things. It was all fake news, and none of it was real. And so, you know, when I listened to this clip, and we'll talk to the authors of this new book, hopefully tomorrow on the show, but, you know, how Barack Obama was trying and the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, working against Kamala Harris. It was Barack Obama who pushed the lesser Batman, George Clooney, to go out there and take Val Kilmer. I'm sorry, Val, my God, my mind's on Val Kilmer, to take Joe Biden out of the race. Well, George Clooney was a terrible Batman compared to Val Kilmer, obviously. We all know that. We all know that. All right, more on that in a second and what happened here. This is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHE. Big Story of the Hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariA, coming right back. All right, well, look, you got to deal with your home. You got to take great care of your home. And you got to make sure that you reach out to my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Emmons, EmmonsRoofing.com. They're my great friends. I love the work that they do. You're going to love the work that they do, too. And you're going to love 10% off inflation relief discount on everything that Emmons makes and everything that they do for your home. Not makes, but, you know, what they do for your home. Anderson Window Replacement, doors, roofing. If you need a new roof, you're going to get a lifetime warranty on that roof. Siding, and the Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. That's right. You can have your bathroom remodeled by Emmons. You'll love the job they do. They did it in our old house. My wife loved it. Happy wife, happy life. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today by going to EmmonsRoofing.com. They serve our entire region, and including, by the way, the Jersey Shore. So if you have a Jersey Shore house, make sure you check on that roof, because that hot summer sun is going to be pounding that roof, and you don't want that to happen. All right, so EmmonsRoofing.com, 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. And you'll love the work. You'll love the quality, the craftsmanship. Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine, and they've done so much work at my home over the years. I really appreciate everything that they've done. You will appreciate it, too. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Remembering Val Kilmer today, died at 65 years old. Very, very sad. He was a great actor. And look, you know, Tombstone to this day, one of my favorite movies. I think we watched it every day in college. I really do. I think we probably had it on every single day at some point. My favorite scene from the movie, probably one of my favorite scenes. It's hard to pick your favorite scene, but this may be at least one of the most iconic lines of the movie Tombstone. Welcome back to the show. Before I get out of here and turn it over to Jimmy Fallon, Fox Across America, big, busy day today, obviously, with the big announcement on tariffs. And we had a big conversation about that. And it's been a long show. But I'd be remiss if I didn't share a little bit of this with you. So take a listen.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry. Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
So good! So good! I love that. Man! Ugh. Now, he was not the best Batman, obviously, but that's more so because of the fact that Batman Forever was just a goofy, silly movie. Joel Schumacher had gotten involved, and the movie was silly with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones, and Robin was introduced into it. This Chris O'Donnell was stupid, it was dumb, but it wasn't his fault, and He's still a better Batman than George Clooney or Ben Affleck, obviously. And speaking of George Clooney, as I mentioned earlier today, this George Clooney was the one who pushed to get Joe Biden out of the race. You know, they go to that fundraiser and they make sure that all the checks clear, and then they push the old guy out. Well, this new book that's coming out right now that's they got everybody talking about this, and Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama wanted a mini primary because they knew Kamala Harris was a disaster. So Obama and the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, tried to orchestrate this mini primary. They couldn't get it done, though.
Made the decision to step down for another generation, right? Just a year earlier. Did she feel like that she could make that argument to Biden? Did she try to?
I think she thought that she could make the argument to Biden, but I think she made it to him, like, why would you want to subject yourself to Donald Trump, not you're going to lose to Donald Trump. I think they were all sort of, you know, thinking that they were losing this race and that they had to do something drastic to change the trajectory of it. But, you know, of course, she watches the debate. She's unhappy. And she thinks that, you know, she doesn't want Democrats to rush into anything in that moment because she thinks, oh, gosh, if they rush him out, then Kamala Harris is going to be in. And she doesn't think that Kamala Harris can win. So it's sort of she's in a pickle in that moment.
So she really wanted a mini primary.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And she talked to people about that. And she, you know, Barack Obama also wanted the mini primary. We report on all these sort of behind the scenes conversations, you know, a couple of phone calls between Pelosi and Obama, basically all the principles and how they're talking to each other about all this. And I think what it boils down to is she knew that Joe Biden, and I think her thinking evolved a little bit on this over time, but her thinking was Biden had to get out and that Harris was a disaster. And what she was trying to do was get Biden to get out in time that the Democrats could choose someone other than Harris.
That's why, I mean, remember when I said to you back over the summer that that debate was a setup to get him on that debate stage so they could swap him out and then try to have a mini primary and then make a change at the convention? You remember that whole thing? And I said that on Fox News. Why are we having a debate in June? It was to show that that was all orchestrated by the Chicago mob boss, Barack Obama, exactly like I told you, exactly like I explained to you back then. And while the White House and most in the media were going on and telling us over and over again that this was the best version of Joe Biden and F you if you don't agree with it. And we knew that when he was shaking hands with the Invisible Man and talking to Harry Truman, having tea with Harry Truman on the Truman balcony, we knew that Joe Biden had lost his friggin' mind and they were still lying to us about this. And Karine Jean-Pierre was talking about deepfakes. Meanwhile, Barack Obama knew and was working behind the scenes to get him out of the race. This book by Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnes, Inside the Wildest Battle for the White House. We hope to have him on the show tomorrow. But that's what Jonathan Allen said to MSNBC. He said, you know, Barack Obama was working against Vice President Kamala Harris after Joe Biden dropped out. He didn't think that Harris could win. And he obviously did not think Joe Biden should continue. And that's why, as I've told you, he pushed George Clooney to write that op-ed in The New York Times. But it was the Chicago mob boss, Barack Obama, who was behind the entire thing. The entire thing. So do you remember back in, and again, I'm only telling you that I'm right because I'm not trying to brag, maybe a little bragging, but it's basically because I told you back in October of 2023, Joe Biden was not going to be the candidate. I said to you, Joe Biden will not be the candidate. I'm not wrong on this. He's not going to make it. I was right. But they had a Kamala Harris problem. They didn't know what to do with Kamala Harris. You know, everybody acts like they all predicted that Biden would get out of the race. They weren't. If you remember, over the summer, everybody was like, he's not getting out. He can't get out. What are they going to do? How are they going to get him out? How are they going to get him out? They have that debate, and they're like, he's still not going to get out. He's still not going to get out. And I said, of course he's going to get out. He's got to get out. And sure enough, I was right. He got out. But that debate was a setup pushed by the Obamas to get him and show the world how bad he was with the hopes that they could still make a swap at the convention and that it didn't have to be Kamala Harris because they knew Kamala Harris was a disaster. You know, and why it was that they could not get rid of her. If they could have gotten rid of her, I think they would have got rid of Joe Biden a long time ago. I'm just amazed that anybody ever doubted this, considering the Hunter Biden laptop, that Joe Biden would ultimately leave the race? Because he didn't want to, and he was a stubborn old codger. He didn't want to go, but everybody forgets that they had the goods on him with the Hunter Biden laptop. They had the evidence of his corruption, and they were going to destroy his legacy. And that's when the Obama pod bros came out and wrote that piece to Joe Biden saying, you can leave with your legacy intact or else. And it was a very subtle threat. We will expose all the corruption around you and your son in Ukraine and how rich you got off of the vice presidency. And everybody's going to know about this, and your entire legacy is going to be destroyed. Look, I predicted all of this. I called every step of this the entire way. So you're in good hands with this show. I mean, you're in good hands with me because, you know, my predictions usually come true in these things. But I think it was the ultimate lies and disinformation was Karine Jean-Pierre saying that this was disinformation about Joe Biden, deepfakes. You know, these deepfakes about Joe Biden, and she would lecture and she would yell at everybody about this. Cheap fakes. Remember that?
And I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video. And that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. And some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation. And so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation.
Remember that? That's, you know, so this is what I mean. When the government's in charge of information, they get to push out whatever they want to be their narrative. That's what they want to do. And I have a hard time with any of this because so many in the corporate legacy media were pushing this story that Biden was fine and that it was this right-wing attack to go after his brain. And you know, I'm going to talk to the authors about this because I really am interested, but I want to know why Politico did not do more. And then I'm going to ask him this tomorrow. Why did Politico not do more to expose Biden's cognitive decline? Do they feel like they were complicit in covering this up? And, you know, and the way that the Biden administration would retaliate against its enemies, I mean, going after Eric Adams in New York, for example, is a great example of this. And I'm glad the case was dismissed with prejudice against him because it was a stupid case. It was dumb. It was purely a case of political retribution. When he came out and he said that New York City cannot survive, you keep sending us 10,000 illegal migrants a day, New York City can't survive. That's it. You can't. The city itself cannot survive. Bottom line. And he was right about that. And, you know, for them to come after him, and for them to destroy Eric Adams in this manner is exactly what the Biden administration did with all of its political enemies, if you think about it. All right, that's it for me. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. More to come tomorrow as we continue to analyze the effects of the president's announcement on tariffs today. And we will we'll have more thoughts and conversations on it with you. And again, rest in peace, Val Kilmer. Thanks for all the incredible work over the years. And have a great rest of your night.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.